Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together in the prison epistles of Paul. These epistles were written when Paul was in prison, first imprisonment in Rome, imprisoned by the Romans there in about 60 or 61 AD. And we've been studying in the book of Ephesians, which is the first of these four books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. The book of Ephesians has a very important purpose because it presents the true salvation of God. In other words, what is real salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it consist of? What are its foundations, first of all, and then what are its responsibilities? So you will find that this book of Ephesians divides between these two ideas. First of all, what are its foundations? The foundations are the Lord Jesus Himself, His coming down from heaven as a divine Son of God, His death on the cross for our sins, the offering of salvation to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then how we come to Him and how we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He has done for us. No matter how diverse our backgrounds or our cultures might be, we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful, wonderful truth this is. Now, we have come now to the second part of this book, and this has to do with the spiritual applications and responsibilities of God's true salvation in us. We already took the prayer that begins this, and the prayer is in verses 14 of chapter 3 to verse 21. And then in the last lesson, we were talking about the outworking of true salvation in the harmony of church relationships. What is the purpose of leadership, for instance, and how do we keep harmony in the body of believers? I want to just finish the last two verses of that section, verses 15 and 16 of chapter 4, and then I want to go into the next section, which has to do with the changes that take place in a believer's life in true salvation. And there are many changes that take place, and we want to begin those. Perhaps we won't finish them in this lesson. First of all, I want to go back to chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. We talked about the importance of unity. We talked about the purpose of leadership. It was to build up the believers so that they too might have their share in the ministry of the furthering of God's kingdom. And now we come down to these last two verses of this section, verses 15 and 16, and they have this to say, "But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." The thing I want to note here is that this is still centered in the Lord Jesus, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In other words, the purpose of God's working in this world is to magnify and exalt and raise high the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our own individual lives, this is to be true. In every way, the Lord Jesus is to be exalted daily in our lives. We're to thank Him and praise Him and exalt Him in our own personal lives. And then in the body of believers, the reason why we sing and fellowship together and listen to the Word of God, and the reason why we go out from our local churches to win others to Christ and to bring them into the body of believers, is that we might exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to Him, we represent Him, we exalt and we lift Him high. And so this is the importance of these two verses, verses 15 and 16, that Jesus is the center of everything, and in Him we have our purpose in living. Now I want to go into this next section, verses 17 to 31. And I want to just even begin this today. We might not be able to finish it, but at least we can begin it today. And this section has to do with the changes in the life of a believer in true salvation. What changes take place? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 has this to say, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, it is inevitable. In fact, it's the purpose of God that when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin, there should be and there must be changes taking place in our lives. And if you study the book of 1 John, for instance, where the subject of the proofs of the Christian life is mentioned again and again, where this subject is mentioned, you're going to find that when there is no change whatsoever in the Christian life, it is possible that person never did really trust Jesus by faith. Because when we trust Jesus by faith, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our lives, and we're changed. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful truth this is. Now, I realize that some change more than others, and some changes are more evident than other changes. And I realize this is true. And so this is not critical of someone whose life may not manifest extreme changes. Some people have more to change, perhaps, than other people. Maybe they came from lives of debauchery and drunkenness and other things, and suddenly they have come into saving relationship with the Lord Jesus, and their lives now are changed. But other people may not have this kind of background, and so you don't notice the changes exactly in the same way. Now, this is a long passage, and I won't be able to take all of it in reading, but I want to begin with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with gradient. But you have not so learned in Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then he begins the changes that needed to take place, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, verse 23, ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but I'm going to refer to the entire passage, and you can follow this in your Bibles. You notice how often he uses this phrase, put off and put on. Put off and put on. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, of necessity, there is this need for this change in our lives, and this means that some things are going to have to be put away from us. In other words, we're not going to do these things anymore. We put off these things. And some people are very reluctant to do this. They feel somehow that this is legalism. In other words, you're just laying down a set of rules for me, and I'm free in Jesus. No, you're not free to sin. It's true that we don't simply lay down long lists of rules that we're to follow, but you're not free to sin. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, he says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And then in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So first of all, there is putting off. And then, of course, there is putting on. God has some new things he wants to put on in our lives. And how wonderful it is to put these things on in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to put them on, and to see our lives changed, and to see our lives manifesting the Lord Jesus in every possible way. And so we are putting off, and we are putting on. And so you're going to see this phrase, not only in this book, but I think you're also going to see it in the book of Galatians, this idea of putting off and putting on. And if you in your own life are not willing to put off evil things from your life, it may mean that your relationship with the Lord Jesus is not a true one. You never have really trusted him. Because if you love him at all, you're going to be willing to do what is pleasing to him and to rid your life of those things which are displeasing to him. Now, let's take a look at this passage for a few moments. First of all, in verses 17 to 19, he talks about their former lives as unsaved people. How important this truth is, that they remember what they were before. We saw this also in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 1 to 3. We saw this also in verses 11 to 12 of chapter 2, speaking in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 of everybody, Jew and Gentile alike, And then in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2, speaking of the former life of the Gentiles, how they were without hope and without God in the world. They were excluded from the covenant of promise and so forth. So in our former lives, we were sinful, lost people. Some of you perhaps were deeper into sin than others, but every one of us were sinners before God. And this is a conclusion of Romans chapter 3, verse 9. We have before concluded, speaking of the very, very sinful man, the obviously sinful man, of the self-righteous man, and also of the Jew. He says they are all under sin. So we remember our former lives. They lived like any other unsaved people in the lusts of the flesh. They were excluded from the life of God. They were living in complete darkness. And so these Ephesian Christians were just like any other Christians in any other church. They had the same former life as anyone else. They had hardened their hearts. They gave themselves to every kind of sin. But now they have come into saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how wonderful this is. And so he talks about the changes that are necessary in the lives of Christians, those who come into saving relationship with their lives. Now, when you come down, for instance, to verses 20 and 21, he's talking about the fact that these sinful practices may have carried over into their Christian lives. And it's a mistake, of course, to let this happen, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes the sinful practices carry over. And then these people with whom they are acquainted with these sinful practices, these people must recognize the responsibility now to put away these things and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. And then in verses 22 to 31, and there's going to be a long list of these, and I'm going to cover these very briefly, but in verses 22 to 31 of chapter 4, the steps they are to take in their lives and areas of their lives to be affected by walking in the new life in Christ. First of all, and I've mentioned this, they're to lay aside the old self. This is verse 22. They're to lay aside the old self. I've talked about this a little bit, and I won't go into this anymore. To lay aside the former sins, and now they are to recognize that these things don't belong in their lives. And then second, verse 23, they're to be renewed in the spirit of their mind. Isn't it wonderful that the indwelling Holy Spirit is the Spirit that touches our lives, convicts our lives, not only to save us originally, but also in the Christian life reveals to us areas of our lives displeasing to God. In other words, He daily convicts us. He daily deals with these areas of our lives. If we're at all tender to the speaking of the Spirit in our lives, we're willing to listen to Him and to respond to His speaking to our hearts. And then in verse 24, he also says they're to put on the new man, the new self, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now this is the only life that is pleasing to God. It is a life of righteousness and true holiness. And so this is what we put on. It's the new man, the new self. Now I want to say, some people think of this as a burden from God. This is not a burden from God. It's not something we have to bear, but rather it's a privilege now to have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we have the new relationship, but then in us, He forms the new life. We have a different kind of a life. We have a life that's free of the bondage of the old sins, these old sinful habits and old sinful thoughts and old sinful feelings and words and everything else. Now we're free from these things, if we're willing to be free. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we have victory over these things. And now we're living lives of righteousness and holiness before God. 1 Peter chapter 1 states again the teaching from the Old Testament, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." So they're to put on the new man, the new self. So this new man, I should say, has come by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. He now has put a new nature in our hearts if we have truly trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Now we desire to please God. Now we desire to live a life of righteousness, a life of holiness before God. And so this is done by the Holy Spirit, beginning with regeneration itself, when we're first saved from our sins. From that moment on, we desire new things. And so this new life we're going to put on, and we have to agree to this. In other words, God does not simply force us to put it on, but we agree that we want this to be put on with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now I pray, as we continue this study, that again, your lives may have all of the responsibilities of the Christian life. These are the ones which meet God's approval and which win His favor and His blessing and His use of you as a Christian. May the Lord help you to be everything God wants you to be if you truly know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. May the Lord bless you, each one.